Good afternoon. Welcome to the session. So after yesterday's keynote, I was trying to figure out how I could tie into Brad's James Bond theme, and the only thing I could come up with is the name's Dempsey, James Dempsey. So let me apologize in advance for any other poor use of humor throughout the session, as well as I've been fighting off a bit of a cold, so if I cough in here, I apologize. So with me today, I've got Adeep Chima. He's one of our senior developers,
Hello.
which means, of course, that he does all of the hard work, and I get to come on stage and take credit for it. So this is the first of a three-part mini-series on unified device management. That's you.
Yeah, that's me. Sorry.
Hello. Check. Hello. I think you turned on the wrong. There we go. This session today is basically the infrastructure setup, how you go about configuring and deploying the unified device management story with Windows Intune and Configuration Manager. And then tomorrow at 1:30, Craig Morris and Martin Booth will be doing a session on enrollment and settings management. And then tomorrow.
I hope not.
Mine's on there. Now it's back
Okay.
on.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. So anyway, 5 o'clock tomorrow then will be that third session on application management through the unified device management story. So our agenda for this session, first I'll talk a little bit about unified device management and Microsoft's people-centric IT vision. Then we'll talk about how to get started with setting up the environment to use Windows Intune and Configuration Manager. We'll talk about the Active Directory configuration, synchronization with Azure AD, things like that. Then we'll talk about the objects that you need to create within Configuration Manager in order to be able to connect with the Windows Intune service. And then we'll talk a little bit about what special considerations may come into play if you're wanting to set this up in a lab environment or proof of concept. All throughout, we'll be doing some demos, so Adeep will kind of show you what that looks like live, and then I'll just kind of cover a few slides that give you a little bit of overview of what he's going to show. So you've probably seen these slides or something similar to these already. But basically, mobile device management is obviously a growing area. I'm sure you're all aware of that. Given that you're here, you're probably all very interested in what that means to you and your organizations. And basically, what we're seeing is an influx of users wanting to be able to use their own devices, right? Traditionally, we've always had corporate-provided devices that would be tightly managed, and users are having that expectation that they can kind of use whatever devices they need to be able to do their work and be effective kind of from anywhere. Those devices range across all sorts of different platforms. You want to be able to, from an administrative perspective, manage those in a consistent way. And that's kind of difficult when you have all these different apps that behave in different ways on different platforms. And ultimately, in order for the user to be productive, they have to have access to all of their data, but that means that we want to be able to keep that secure and make sure that their devices that they're bringing in are remaining compliant, and so that you're not risking or compromising the security of your intellectual property. So what does Microsoft say about that, and what's our people-centric IT vision? Well, basically, we want to provide an environment that allows you to enable your end users to use those devices, any device that they choose, wherever that may be, and to be able to do that in a unified manner so that you're managing all of your on-premise infrastructure and all of your cloud infrastructure in a consistent way with a consistent experience both for you and the end users, and that you're doing that in a secure and protected way. So you have a couple of options for managing mobile devices. The two options here we show are cloud-based management on the right using Windows Intune in standalone, just by itself. So that's typically going to be suited for your smaller environments, less than 7,000 devices and 4,000 users as listed here. But then on the left side, we have the unified device management story, combining the power of Windows Intune service in the cloud with the on-premise capabilities of Configuration Manager. So for the purpose of this discussion, I'll be talking about the option on the left, which, as I said, gives you the opportunity to manage these devices in a consistent way with a single console. So the console that you'll use in this environment is the Configuration Manager console that you're probably already used to. Talking to Configuration Manager, which then communicates with the Windows Intune service. The great thing about this story is that we've enabled the ability to manage those devices where they live, right? So you've got all of these mobile devices that were made basically to be always on, always connected to the internet, and so those are managed through the internet infrastructure provided by Windows Intune, whereas all of your desktop devices, PCs, Macs, Linux, that kind of thing, those are all managed by your on-premise Configuration Manager environment, but again, just through a single Config Manager console.
And sorry, just to add to that a little bit, in System Center Config Manager 2012 R2, we've added support for Windows 8.1, and that's not just for RT, but for all the SKUs of Windows 8.1. So out of the box, both x86 and x64 and RT SKUs of Windows 8.1 can be managed with Intune.
Thanks. So thanks for that lead-in. I'll skip over this. We already talked about that. The platform support that we have, the items listed in white there are things that are available in Service Pack 1 for Configuration Manager. And the items in the orange color are things that are new to the R2 release that's coming soon. Specifically, one thing I want to point out about Android support is that in Service Pack 1, Android support is provided through EAS. Now in R2, we'll actually provide a native management agent using OMADM for that. And then you'll see a list of features on the right side. Again, all the items in white are available in Service Pack 1 today. The items in orange are coming in R2. And most of those things will be covered. Actually, all of those things should be covered in the sessions tomorrow at 1:30 and 5 o'clock. So if you want to learn more, kind of deep dive on how those things function, those are the sessions to attend tomorrow. So let's get started. Here's an overview of the process of setting up the unified device management story. So the first thing that you'll need to do is create your Windows Intune subscription. And that subscription can come from either, if you already have an enterprise agreement in place, you can work with your sales team to have Windows Intune included into that enterprise agreement. Alternatively, if you don't have a volume license agreement, you can actually go sign up for an account through windowsintune.com. Then, once you've got your subscription, you need to configure a verifiable public DNS, public domain, so that you can have your devices, when they enroll, automatically redirected to the Windows Intune service. We'll have to configure UPNs so that the user account on the Config Manager side on-premise and the user account in Azure Active Directory can be tied together so that users can use a consistent logon set of credentials for their domain credentials. We'll deploy and configure Active Directory Federation services, which gives you that single sign-on possibility. That is an optional item. Then you can deploy and configure Active Directory synchronization, which is going to actually take your on-premise Active Directory user information and publish that into Azure Active Directory. Number six there, reset user password. So this is if you're choosing not to use ADFS, then you will have to manually manage user accounts. So we expect that probably will not be a common option. Those that do choose that option will probably find themselves frustrated after a short period of time and will end up deploying ADFS anyway. Then the next thing that we'll do is we'll go and configure the objects in Configuration Manager that are needed to talk to the Windows Intune service. And then finally, we'll verify that Configuration Manager is successfully communicating with the service. So as I said, creating the Windows Intune subscription, first thing that you need to do before you go configure anything in Configuration Manager And we already talked about the two ways that you can get to that. Once you've provisioned that subscription, you do need to go to the Windows Intune account portal to configure some additional items. When we create the verifiable public domain, so basically this would be, the example here is company1.com. In our case, our public domain would be Microsoft.com. Basically, when you provision the subscription, you'll receive a on Microsoft.com address. The reason that you want to configure your public domain is so that you can have that common user identity with your public domain so that they can just sign in with their email address. The way that you go about setting that up, you do have to verify it by creating some objects in DNS to basically verify that you are, in fact, the owner of that domain. So you can't just go pick any domain that you want. You have to be able to actually create those DNS objects so that we can verify that you own that. And then once you've done that, the other thing you'll need to do in DNS is create a CNAME record, which redirects the enterprise enrollment address over to manage.microsoft.com. So enterprise enrollment for your domain would redirect to manage.microsoft.com.
And as far as verifying your domain is concerned, if you're already using Office 365, you would have been through this process once, and you only have to do this once for Office 365 or Windows Intune or while setting up AD, Azure AD.
Yep. Thanks. Okay. So the next thing that you would need to do is you need to verify that all of your users have an appropriate UPN or user, universal principal name. So the basically you have, as I said earlier, you have two different user IDs. You have one in your on-premise infrastructure, you have one out in the cloud. And the UPN is the way that we kind of tie those records together when we're communicating and sending policies and receiving status back from those devices and so forth. So you do need to set that up to make sure that it's configured for your public domain. And then you can do that either manually. If you only have a small number of accounts, you could go do that manually through ADSI Edit or similar tools. Alternatively, there's a link on the left here that you can go view that will tell you how to script that so that you can do that in bulk. And then once you've verified that your UPNs are all set correctly, then you would go and initiate Active Directory User Discovery and Configuration Manager so that you can discover all that information from your on-prem infrastructure into Configuration Manager. All right. Next, so as I said, this step is not required, but it is highly recommended that you configure Active Directory Federation Services servers. And what that'll do is it will basically allow you to have a single sign-on experience for your users. There's a couple of links on the left-hand side here that tell you more information on how to prepare for that and how to actually go and deploy ADFS. I'm not going to go into those details here.
And ADFS will take out a lot of the manual process required in, for instance, setting, resetting user passwords. All your credential management will be done through ADFS, and you'll get that single sign-on in addition.
And then the next item is the AD DIR sync or directory synchronization. So you need to make sure that you're synchronizing that information from your on-premise infrastructure into Azure Active Directory. So again, you would go out to the Intune account portal to configure all of these things. You'll see the links when you go to the users node. You'll see the links for single sign-on setup and Active Directory synchronization setup. Those are fairly straightforward straightforward things to do. DIR sync is actually only like a 5 or 6 step thing, so it's not significant. And again, if you've already gone through this process for Office 365, we do share a lot of that same infrastructure, so it becomes only like a 1 or 2 step process. It's really very simple to be able to do that when you're using both Office 365 and Windows Intune. Again, there's another link here that tells you good information on how to go and deploy DIR sync. One question that comes up fairly regularly is, do I have to synchronize my entire AD? And no, you don't. You can actually configure what you want to synchronize and what you don't. All right, so if you were one of those people that chose not to use ADFS, you do need to go and provision a password before for each of your users before they can actually enroll devices. When you synchronize the user information into Azure Active Directory, they come across without a password being set, so you do need to go in and manually set a password for each user. If you're using, DirSync will actually happen immediately. It'll start replicating that information into the cloud, and then it'll run every 3 hours. You can also trigger that to run kind of on demand if you need to, but that should be used sparingly, only in extreme cases. I think that's all here. So there is a way, if you want to use PowerShell to script the setting of the passwords, you can actually do that. There's a link here, again, that takes you to an article on that. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Adeep to kind of show you connecting to Windows Intune.
Thanks, Jim. So let's start by jumping right into the Intune account portal. So that's just account.manage.microsoft.com. That's the Windows Intune account portal. And I can log in here with my admin credentials for Intune. So here I'm using a domain that is contoso.t13.onmicrosoft.com. In one of the other demos, I'll show you how to set up a trial subscription with Intune, and that's what I'm using for the purpose of this demo. If I enter my password. This is the admin portal. You can see my name right there as the admin. I can go to my profile. This is some of the information that you will enter while creating this account. Going back. Jim talked about adding a verified domain, so if I go to the domains node right here under management, I can see the default one that was that came with the account right here, contoso.t.onmicrosoft.com. That's active. We talked about adding a verifiable public domain. So that's really easy. You hit add a domain. You can choose the domain that belongs to your company. So in here, I'll add contoso.com. And then you are presented with the option of options for verifying this. So in the previous wave of Intune, we just had the ability to add a TXT record. In the current wave, you can also choose an MX record, which is mail redirection record. Essentially, the steps are all listed here. If you go to your DNS and modify it with the precise value that's in the table and in these instructions, Microsoft Online Services will continuously scan and ensure that once you've verified the domain, you can start importing users from that public domain. In this case, I don't actually own contoso.com. This is just a demo account, so I can cancel out of that. And I can probably remove it as well. So this is just really straightforward to manage your domains here. And you can add multiple ones. The next thing we talked about is user sync. So if I go under users, here you can see I've already synced a large number of users. The instructions on how to set this up are right here on this page as well. If I go to setup, it's basically just these steps right here. Some preparation, and then we've already looked at verifying your domain. The next step is installing and downloading the store. You could also set up ADFS at this point, by the way, which we won't do in this demo. But what I used to sync my users was this directory synchronization tool. It's fairly straightforward. You can install this tool on any machine in your domain. It just requires outbound internet access. You do provide credentials while installing this tool. You will sign in with your Intune account. And you will also provide credentials for an account with specific read permissions on your user group. What the tool does is it installs a service on that particular machine, which will then do a user sync every 3 hours. And it's a delta sync, and you do get emails in case your user sync is unhealthy. So I have the tool set up on a different box. It just looks like this. That's the setup. You enter credentials. We've already set this up, so I don't want to go through this again. But you provide your AD credentials, and the tool actually installs a service, so your credentials are not kept, so there's no chance of having There's no security concerns around having your credentials cached or anything. So with that tool, we've imported this list of users. The other thing Jim mentioned was credential management. So in this case, we don't have ADFS. I could search for a particular user here, let's say Jim, and his account comes up. What I can do from this portal itself is I can go to reset password right here. That gives me an option of I can choose to send results in email, but I can just hit reset password, and you can see that if I had entered Jim's email address, he would get an email asking him to go log on to this page with this temporary password, and then that way the user themselves can reset their password. And that's about it for the Intune account portal. Back over to you, Jim.
Thanks. Okay, so now that we've configured that subscription and have that ready to go, the next thing we need to do is go into Configuration Manager and tell it how to talk to that subscription in Windows Intune. So there's a couple of objects that we have to create in the console. The first one is actually going and adding that Windows Intune subscription into Configuration Manager. When you log into that account, when you log into that subscription, the first thing it's going to do is it's going to download a certificate that's used by the connector to be able to communicate with the service. The other things that you'll need to configure within the subscription are you'll need to define a user collection, which contains the list of users that you want to enable to be able to enroll mobile devices. So you don't necessarily want your entire enterprise to be enrolling mobile devices. You might want to phase that in over time, or there may just be specific user groups that you want to enable for that. So you would just create a user collection and put users in that, and that will enable them to enroll their own mobile devices. Then the last item there that you would configure is which mobile platforms that you want them to be able to enroll. So maybe you're ready to support Windows RT, but you're not ready to support Android. You can choose which platforms you want enabled for management. And then the second item that you'll create is you'll install the Windows Intune Connector site system role. And that site system role is responsible for sending the policies that you create within the Configuration Manager console up to the service, as well as retrieving status and state information from the devices that's coming back down through the service. And you can kind of think of the Windows Intune service as just like a device management point. If you guys are familiar with our device management points from previous mobile management, it behaves very much the same way. It's basically just acting like an MP that handles all of the policies, and then a gateway that allows the mobile devices to communicate with the service. So here's a look at the different platforms that we support, and the certificates and keys that you need to be able to configure in order to be able to use these different platforms. So starting at the top there for Windows Phone 8, we do require a code signing certificate for sideloading applications. So you do need to go get a Symantec code signing certificate if you want to deploy your own line of business applications. One thing there in the orange, this is added in R2, is that we also will allow you to specify an application enrollment token or an AET. Basically, we've heard a lot of feedback that when you're just wanting to try out the service, you don't necessarily want to go spend a bunch of money on a code signing certificate, and you want to be able to kind of get up and running quickly. So basically, when you specify your code signing certificate and public key information, that will generate an AET that you can then use instead of the code signing certificate. So you may not want to provide that certificate to your admin that's going and configuring this. You may want to just give them the AET. We do plan at some point, I don't know exactly when it'll be available, but we do plan to make available a test AET and some test applications that we will provide publicly, specifically for the purpose of testing out this capability in your environment. So the question is, why just VeriSign? That's currently the only authority that's supported on that Windows Phone platform. So we just work with what's available to us. So the next item is Windows. Previously, that was labeled only as Windows RT, but as Adeep mentioned earlier, with R2, we do support Windows 8.1 x86 and x64 devices, as well as Windows 8.1 RT devices. And then we also support Windows 8 RT devices as well. Basically, you'll need sideloading keys in order to be able to provision applications, again, sideloaded applications. You would purchase those from Microsoft. You can work through your sales account team for that, as well as the link there for more information.
And just to clarify, between Windows 8 RT and Windows 8.1, the sideloading keys are compatible. They stay the same. So if you've already purchased them for 8 RT, they will work on 8.1 as well.
Yep. For iOS management, we directly use the Apple Push Notification Service. And so we have to have a certificate to be able to use that. Again, we're kind of subject to whatever infrastructure is available to us, and so we leverage the APIs and the interfaces that Apple provides for that management capability. So you do need to go and create an APNS certificate request, go out to Apple to request that certificate, and then once you receive that from Apple, you would go ahead and provision that within the subscription properties. And then finally, for Android, there are no specific certificate or key requirements for that platform. So, and now I will turn it over to Adeep again.
So I can just launch the Config Manager console right here. And I'll walk through some of the prereqs that Jim mentioned. We talked about user collections. So on this site, I've already done AD user discovery. And if I go to the users node under assets and compliance, I can see a list of users. And these will look similar to the ones that we showed into the con portal. And that's because AD dir sync has already happened. If I go to properties, like you can also see details such as the universal principal name that we saw in the AD in Windows Intune portal. Those already match. And later on in the demo, I'll go over how exactly we did this for how exactly you can do this for a trial account. I've also created within my user collections a cloud user collection. It just has 9 users for now, but this collection is what we will use to is what we will specify while creating a subscription to Windows Intune. You could essentially start out with a smaller collection if you want to slowly phase in user enrollment. I have a question.
Yeah, since that's in ConfigMan, is that users from AD, or is it looking at users that have been imported in Intune?
This is looking at users from AD. Thank you. And if I just open that, you'll see that I just have 9 users for now, but you can always add more users later on. We can go to some other prereqs now. We mentioned we mentioned sideloading keys. So those are under application management. There's a node for Windows sideloading keys. This is where you could add or remove and manage sideloading keys in general. The reason why this sort of exists outside of the subscription experience is because this is, again, something more dynamic. So as you add or remove users, you can manage your sideloading keys from this particular node. We also show you an activation count under this part of the UI. Another prereq for setting up enrollment for Windows Phone 8 is a self-service portal application. This is something you can download from the Microsoft Download Center. You do have to sign it using the certificate, the code signing certificate that Jim described. And in my UI, I've already created an application which has a deployment type of type Windows Phone 8. This is just using the self-service portal ZAP file that I've downloaded and signed. So with those prereqs covered, let's jump into administration. And under the overview node, we've added a node for cloud services. This is new in R2. And this is where you see the node for Windows Intune subscriptions. This is where I can come in and configure.
Yeah, so just for anyone who wants to do this in Service Pack 1. As he said, the Cloud Services node is new to
yes.
R2, so you would find that under Hierarchy Configuration in Service Pack 1.
Yeah, if you're looking for this in SP1, it's, yeah. Thanks, June. Under Windows Intune Subscriptions, I can just right-click, add a new subscription, and we'll walk through the steps. So getting started, it talks about the Windows Intune account portal, which you've already seen. We'll be required to sign in a second. And also talks about some of the prereqs that Jim mentioned, the code signing certificate for Windows 8, the code signing cert for Windows itself, and the Apple push notification certificate, which I haven't provisioned just yet. So next step is signing in to Windows Intune.
Now, before he goes and checks this seemingly innocuous checkbox here to proceed, I do want to call out that this is actually pretty important, because when you go into the Windows Intune admin console, there's actually an option there that you can set Windows Intune as the management authority for your mobile devices. You do not want to do that. So if you're going to use the Unified Device Management Story combined with Config Manager, you should probably just not even go into the Windows Intune admin portal at all. So you can go into the account portal to configure all the things that we've shown you, but don't even go into the admin console.
Right.
Because then when you go in here and check this box, if you've already set the management authority to Windows Intune, it will not allow you to set it to Configuration Manager. So that's a one-time setting, and it's not reversible.
Yeah. So. Can only be set once. So.
Does the Intune side warn you also?
Yeah, so the question was, does the Intune side warn you also? It does warn you in a very similar fashion. I think it's almost the same message.
Yes. So in this case, it's safe to check the box. And over here, I get the same login experience, so I enter my admin credentials again. And here I get a warning. I'm getting this because I've already set up an Intune subscription on this account. I can go ahead and skip that.
Yeah, so at this point, you know, it's going to you know, go through and configure all the other settings. And then at the end of this, you'll see that there's a prompt basically letting you know that you need to go do the connector piece, which we'll show next. But the reason that we separated those two processes is because you may want to move the connector around and you don't want to necessarily have to go and add or you know modify all of this information again. So you'll see that in just a moment.
Right. With the site role itself, since we've moved most of the configuration to this part of the experience, the idea is that you can just do the setup once. You would come back to the Windows Intune subscription if you're adding or removing devices. But as far as the actual Config Manager site role is concerned, that can be managed separately, and that would be moving that role would be more of a decision about resourcing and whether if you want to move it from one machine to another, etc. So over here we can pick the collection that we just saw, the Cloud Users collection. Again, this collection is the all-up collection of users that will be managed through Windows Intune. As far as targeting of specific policy is concerned, you can always have sub-collections. You could have a Contoso sales or Contoso accounting sub-collection within Cloud Users, and you can do your policy and application targeting using those. You can also specify your company information and a URL to a privacy statement. Choose your favorite color, and in this case, since we have a single primary site, we can specify just that site code for device assignment. The actual connector role itself is separate, and we'll see that next.
Yeah, and so basically, you know, even though if you have a hierarchy, the connector role will be installed on the CAS, but your clients can't be assigned to the CAS, obviously. So this allows you to specify which primary site those devices will get assigned to when they come in and enroll Obviously, if you have a single primary site without a CAS, then your connector will be running from the primary, and that'll be the only primary site you can choose for assignment.
So. Right. Over to platforms, we can check everything, even though I don't quite meet the prereqs for iOS. We'll come back to that. Let's go to Windows. We talked about the code signing certificate. I already have that in my subscription prereqs folder. Select that. We already saw sideloading keys under the software library application management tab. You can also choose to add them here while setting up the subscription. Windows Phone 8, I do already have a code signing certificate, so I just select that. Prompts me for a password. There we go. We also looked at the company portal application. So over here, we can select that. And for iOS, one of the steps I'll walk through after this is getting a certificate for Apple push notifications. I don't have that provision just yet. What I wanted to highlight was that you can always go back to platforms. You can deselect something, and you can always come back to it. You can always, if you want to, start out with just a subset of platforms and later on expand later on. That's absolutely doable. So we'll start the subscription with just the three platforms and then come back and add iOS. I also get to choose the company contact information. If you've seen in the keynote, the keynote demos and some of the other foundation session demos, when we showed the company portal application, that had a section on your IT department and that you can publish to your users, which will have information such as who to contact, with the phone number, the email address, etc. So all of that information is specified while creating the subscription.
And this company contact information, as well as the company logo that you can set on the next page of the wizard, those are all new to R2, so those are not available in SP1. Sorry, what's the question? What's multi-language support? Yeah, that's a great question. So is there multi-language support for configuring this? I don't believe there is, but I'm not positive, so I'd have to get back to you on that.
You can also choose a logo. This is, again, new in R2.
Just to be clear, are these all fields that the company portal XPath knows to pull data from? Or is this only used via for the web?
So this is this information is added while creating the subscription, and as a part of once you set up the connector, this information goes all the way up to Intune using the connector. So your primary site here is going to synchronize with Windows Intune, and that's where the information is pulled from the cloud.
When is it seen? Where is it seen?
So you would see this information in the self-service portal.
Okay. So I can add my logos. And that's it.
Okay.
Give it a couple of seconds, and then we'll see that warning that Jim had alluded to, which is this part of the setup creates the Intune subscription, but you haven't quite set up the connector yet. So that's what we'll do next.
And, well, I guess we'll touch on that in the next demo. I was going to ask, where would they go see the progress and information like this? So I think you'll show that in the troubleshooting demo,
yes.
Right? You'll show the logs.
And there we go. So this wants me to create to do the setup for the Windows Intune connector. That's going to be our next step.
Yeah. And the reason that that we added that warning, that warning is actually new in R2 also. The reason we added that warning is that we did see several situations where customers would go in and configure the Intune subscription and then not, you know, think that they were done and not realize that they needed to deploy the connector role. So we just wanted to make sure that that was called out clearly.
So now that the subscription is has been created, I can see a new site role, a new site under my servers and site system roles, which is manage.microsoft.com. This represents the Windows Intune, the role in the cloud, which currently has a distribution point for all the applications that you will be hosting for your mobile devices. What I can do here is I can add the Windows Intune connector role.
And just to be clear, that manage.microsoft.com site system role obviously is not a real site system. It's not a real distribution point, but we communicate with it like a distribution point for the purpose of getting content up for your mobile devices.
Right. So. Another thing we added was proxy configuration within the visitor to add system roles. This is especially useful because the Windows Intune connector is a role which requires outbound internet access, so it will be talking to the Windows Intune service in the cloud. So if you do have requirements around specifying proxy a proxy server, this is where you can go ahead and do that.
So you pointed out that's a new site, but you added this role to the other one, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. This does live on-premise.
Yep. Yeah, so the connector is being installed on an actual site system server.
Yep. So I just picked the Windows Intune connector, hit next. And we're done. So we, I want to go back and set up the one platform we haven't added yet. So I go back to Windows Intune subscriptions, and right from this page itself, I can create an APNNS certificate request. And this is really straightforward as well. I just need to specify a file name. So I'm going to pick, I already have one. And I hit download, and this again launches the login page to the Windows Intune. I enter my admin credentials.
So this is another reason to do the certified public domain, so that you don't have to type in such a long domain name every time you get prompted for credentials.
And that's it. I've downloaded a certificate signing request. The next step that this page prompts me to do is go to the Apple Push Certificate portal. Just click that. And I'll have to log in using my Apple ID. And I get to this portal. It gives me the option to create a certificate, so I'll go ahead and do that. Accept the terms and conditions. And browse to the file I just created, which was
so with Apple, that account has to have the registered Apple developer account?
It does not have to be a registered Apple developer account.
So, another question? Could you step up to the microphone so that people can hear?
That's a great thing.
Yeah, could you step up to the microphone and repeat that?
Yeah, so when you do this Apple Push certificate, whatever account that you use.
Is the mic on? Are the room mics on?
Here, I will yell.
All right.
Whatever account you use for this Apple Push cert, when you want to renew it in a year, you have to use the same account or you have to run it.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, just to repeat that for the recording or what have you, the account that you use to create that Apple Push certificate needs to be the same one that you use to renew it. So you probably don't want to use a personal account. You probably want to basically set that up as a service ID. Same thing really for that tenant ID that you create, that admin at onmicrosoft.com. You probably don't want to tie that to any kind of personal account. You want to just create that more or less like a service account.
Yes. So I just upload the certificate signing request. This is a strange bug in the portal. I just have to cancel it. For some reason, the page likes to return a JSON object. If I hit cancel and just hit refresh, I will see a newly provisioned cert that I can download. So we'll download this, save it under the same prereqs folder. And what I can go now is I can go back to my subscription, hit properties, go to iOS, enable iOS enrollment, and just browse to the new certificate that we just downloaded. And that's it.
Awesome. Thank you. OK. So we've been through the process of setting up your account and setting up your subscription, setting up the subscription, configuring the objects within Configuration Manager to be able to communicate with that subscription. All of that really around kind of what your production scenario would be. Now, if you want to go and you want to set up a lab environment to test this out, then things are probably, things are just a little bit different. First thing is that you can sign up for a trial account. So just go to windowsintune.com. There will be a button there where you can easily set up a trial account, which is good for 30 days. That can be upgraded to a paid subscription if you want to do that, but it's available there for 30 days. You still need to configure Active Directory Dir Sync in order to communicate and replicate the information from your test Active Directory on-prem into Azure Active Directory, but you don't necessarily need to use ADFS for single sign-on in that case. Your default domain is on Microsoft.com, so you'll actually need to go in and configure the on-premise UPNs to use that on Microsoft.com so that your user accounts UPNs match between the two environments. And then the last thing here is that if you're just trying to get up and kind of quickly test out the functionality, Windows RT and iOS don't require certificates to be able to deploy web links and things like that. So there is a quick way that you can get up and running and see what that experience is like without having to go through a whole bunch of extra configuration. So.
And you can do that from the Ontune web console without doing the config manager integration?
So the question was, can you do that from the Intune console without config manager integration? So this is specifically talking about when you want to test out the unified device management story with Windows Intune and Configuration Manager. So all of the same things that we just saw still apply, other than there's a few less things that you need to do on the initial setup side, and then it's just kind of, again, the 30-day trial unless you want to upgrade that to a paid subscription.
It is possible to use Intune standalone as well, but the setup is slightly different.
So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Adeep one more time to go through troubleshooting of the subscription connector.
So since Jim mentioned the trial account, I can just show you, it's just windowsintune.com. That's where you can easily sign up for a trial account. You don't need a you don't need a credit card. All you need is just an email account, and you can sign up for a 30-day subscription that allows 25 licensed users, and you can convert that to a real account as well. So it's just the try button here, and then that's what I use for the purpose of this demo as well. We looked at UserSync, and I showed you the DirSync tool. I can just go over, and we also talked about how you get, when you sign up for an Intune account initially, you get the on Microsoft domain. So a neat trick to basically map out your users from your company domain to that is just to go to Active Directory Domains and Trust. And all I had to do in order to do the setup was just add an alternative UPN suffix. So I just added the one that I got with my trial account to my AD and all my users. If I go to AD users and computers, all of them get provisioned with the same universal principal name. So right here, I can choose between my actual domain versus the one that I just got. So it's useful for trying out in a lab. Another neat trick is to use, one thing I ran into was I set up my Intune admin account as admin as opposed to administrator. So what's really handy in that case is ADSI edit. I can just launch that, navigate to my users container, and then to the administrator. And you can just go to properties, and you can edit the specific universal principle name. Pretty, I think it's. Oh, there you go. User principal name in this case to admin instead of administrator. That's just handy if you want to set up DirSync and get everything up and running in a lab environment. I can also show you a set of logs that of the different roles we set up. So essentially, once you create the Windows Intune connector, there's three sets of logs that you can look at. So I have those right here. There's the DMP uploader because. Once you set up Intune, the server set you're connecting to looks just like a DMP, so that's kind of why it's named that way. But if I just show you what this service does is it gets installed once you set up the connector role, and every 5 minutes it will look for any changes in policy and upload them to your Windows Intune subscription. So I can see some traffic here of policies getting uploaded. And we have a similar component which does the sync back from Windows Intune, which is the DMP downloader. So maybe I showed you the wrong set of logs initially. But so this is the downloader, and then you have the uploader as well. Yeah, so we can see data going back and forth. We also have Cloud User Sync, which is the set of logs that will show that'll do the delta synchronization of users between Config Manager and Intune. This is essentially to ensure that the users that you're adding to your cloud users collection are appropriately licensed in Windows Intune, so they can go ahead and enroll their devices and get application policy. I have a set of failure logs to illustrate what errors would look like. So in this case, you can see some red lines and errors while trying to contact the service. So as far as troubleshooting is concerned, these would be the logs to look at to see if you have connectivity problems, whether you need to set up a proxy, whether you're not able to reach the specific URLs that we need to synchronize policy between your on-premise and your Intune subscription.
And then the status will also be reflected in the component status in the console, right?
That's right.
So you'll see components for the uploader, the downloader, and then also a component called Windows Intune Service. So
that's right. Yeah.
Are we gonna try to enroll? Or?
I do not have. I did lose connectivity, so I can try disconnecting. Okay, let's see. Let's see if this works.
We're working without wires here.
Okay. Nothing yet. Okay. We can try going over Wi-Fi. So I do have Wi-Fi, so let's give it a shot, actually.
Okay.
This wasn't, yeah. For some reason, my device lost connectivity, but I can connect to Wi-Fi. So so this is the RT device. I'm Alan on this device, and I'm going to attempt to enroll it to Intune. So you've probably already seen company apps. That's the that's accessible through search, and that's also launchable from Control Panel in Windows 8 RT. If you looked at some of the demos on the first day, the keynote, as well as the foundation session, in Windows 8.1, you don't have to go to the control panel. This is just a part of the modern settings UI. So if you go to settings in Windows 8.1 and change PC settings, there's a node called network, and then you can navigate to workplace. And that's where you can both join to Windows Server 2012 R2 AD registration. And you can also turn on management, which is just going to Intune and enrolling your device. This is Windows 8 RT, so we still have to go back to the desktop and to control panel. And I will use my credentials here. Yes. Yes, so this is using a different account than And my server address. So we're having to add a server address here because one of the steps in the setup is to set up a CNAME entry which does redirection. So the purpose of that entry is so we use that DNS record to do auto redirection from your user's email address or UPN, which is going to end with your domain, to the management service that is being used to enroll them, which is Intune. And that's something that's a part of the setup. So I provide the server address here. And this might take a while over Wi-Fi. So at this point, we authenticate the user. We ensure that they have a valid license for Windows Intune. The device gets provisioned with the right set of certificates to be able to talk to the service. And we also apply some initial policy, which is where the device should be connecting and how often it should connect. So we set up those tasks. So I didn't have luck over Wi-Fi earlier because it was just too slow, but let's see if you can go through.
Would it be reasonable to run the NurSync on the SCCM node that has the site role on?
So the question is, would it be reasonable to run NurSync on the server that's running the connector role? You could. More than likely, you probably want to just set up a separate box to do the NurSync process. So actually, while that's going, I'm just going to flip back over here and kind of wrap up with slides.
Okay.
And then if it's successful, we'll jump back over to show, or when it's successful. So just in review, the things that we talked about today, where we went through kind of what are the requirements for setting up mobile device management.
Did work.
It did work.
Yeah. It just took a while, so connected.
Some of that. So jump back there.
So you see a confirmation, and then I can close that. If you open it again, you'll see it's connected to. So it'll say connected to your company, and you see the trial account there.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. So we talked about what are the requirements that you need to set up in order to be able to configure Configuration Manager to talk to Windows Intune and provide that unified device management story, as well as we went through the setup process and configuration and kind of showed you all of that end-to-end setup all the way to enrollment of the device. We do have some documentation here, a couple of links to the TechNet documentation that'll give you more information on the things that we talked about today. Additionally, here is a slide with some related sessions this week. So already mentioned the ones tomorrow at 1:30 and 5 o'clock are kind of the other two parts of this three-part series on setting up and using unified device management. There's also a couple other sessions here, one from Microsoft IT, kind of talking about how they went about configuring and using the same environment, as well as there's also one down there at the bottom, Windows Intune Overview, which I believe is this afternoon or this evening at 5 o'clock with Martin Booth. So if you're interested in kind of what is the standalone Windows Intune story, he'll be going in depth with Windows Intune in that session today. We've got some the typical resource slides here, additional information, Windows track resources, and then Q&A. So at this point, if you guys do have questions, come up to the microphones and ask so that everybody can hear. Then when we wrap up, the other thing I would ask is also that please go fill out your evaluations, and we'll stick around afterward also to answer questions up here if we run out of time. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Can we get the house mics on, please?
So,
repeat the question.
I you're not the team.
Right.
But can you maybe communicate to the team that if they would like a shotgun, have one that can shoot a foot off?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's good feedback. We've heard that before, and we will.
Especially when you do a demo on how easy it is to do with the Apple
phones to begin with. It's like, guys, you're killing.
Yeah, so the question was with regard to the certificate and key requirements for the different platforms, and the fact that with Apple Push Notification, you can just go out and get one, whereas Windows Phone, you need to go out and buy a certificate. And unfortunately, we are tied to the limitations of the individual platforms. So we do appreciate the feedback, and certainly we'll push that back to the product group that owns that. So. Other questions?
What are our options if we have users in multiple domains with unique UPN.
Yeah, so the question is, what are the options if you have users in multiple different domains, separate UPNs? You can configure multiple domains with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
How can you get access to standalone UPN? From a test perspective, it would be the same as what we talked about as far as just go out to windowsintune.com, sign up for a trial account. Standalone Intune is not a on-premise solution, mm-hmm. It's a cloud solution. So, yeah. So the question is, is there a way if you start off with Windows Intune standalone to migrate or convert to the unified device management story? And no, there is not, because once you set that management authority to Windows Intune, you can't change it to Windows. It can't change it to Configuration Manager. So
it would be worthwhile talking to your technical account manager to see if they can help with that regard, depending on the number of users.
Technically not supported. There may be some ways around it if you're in a tight spot. So.
Yep.
And the license is per user or per device?
The license is per user for Intune.
Yeah. So the license is per user. Each user is licensed to enroll up to 5 devices. Technically, we actually support in the product the ability to enroll up to 20 devices per user. If you at some point wanted to go over 20, at a 21st, you'd have to remove one before they could re-enroll a new one. But again, licensing is for 5 per user. So.
You mentioned that joint devices could be managed in Windows Intune now. Is this still through
accessing? So the question was, we mentioned that Android devices can be managed. Is that still through ActiveSync? So in Service Pack 1, that is through Exchange ActiveSync. In R2, we do have a native management agent that we put on Android.
Right.
One thing that I forgot to point out during the session is that it's still beneficial to use Exchange ActiveSync even when you're using our agents. And the reason for that is that EAS gives you that visibility into what devices are actually connecting to your environment so that you know, hey, I've got 20,000 iOS devices connecting to get email, or I've got 10,000 Android devices or whatever, so you can get that visibility to what devices are actually in your environment so that you know what to go and enable management for within our solution.
And
it also gives you, go ahead.
I was just going to say at 3:00 today there's a session on enrollment and settings, which will go into in depth into each platform about how to enroll devices, as well as the full breadth of settings that are supported on each platform. So Droid will be covered there as well.
At 3:00?
Yes, that's Martin and Craig.
Unless it changed, it's tomorrow
okay.
at 1:30.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the 1:30 session tomorrow.
Sounds good. So
the other thing that it does if you have EAS is it gives you kind of a couple of different channels to do things like remote wipe of devices and so forth, right? So there are definitely advantages to using both, and they are a complementary solution. So.
Related to that, with the R2 time frame, will that agent come from the Play Store? Or will the user have to have root or super user access?
So the question was, will the Android agent come from the Play Store?
I think that's still TBD.
Yeah.
So if it's not, they may have to have root access or super user access to install it?
I think we'll have to go find out. I think that's still being decided.
Yeah. Okay. Other questions? actually at this point. Why don't we just take questions up here if you just want to line up and we'll talk in a smaller group.